Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast, episode number 45, Your Brain in Action, Part 1. I'm your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Remember to subscribe to my podcast so that you can receive alerts when new episodes are available each week on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I ask that you support my podcast with your monetary donations and also by sharing your favorite episodes. There's a quote by Marcus Aurelius. He said, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." Your brain is constantly organizing what it perceives. It's an amazing organ, and the more you know about how it operates, the better you can control your mind, and subsequently, your life. These lesser known facts about the brain will help you start to reprogram your mind and make changes in your life. Stress can change the size of your brain by making it smaller. You probably didn't know that stress is the most common cause of brain function changes. Some research even shows that stress can cause your brain mass to shrink. In an interesting study, baby monkeys were used to demonstrate the effects of stress on developmental and long-term health. 50% of the monkeys were cared for by their peers for 6 months, and the other 50% stayed with their mothers. After the study was complete, the monkeys were returned to their typical social groups for a few months before their brains were scanned. For those who had been removed from their mothers, areas of their brains that were connected to stress were still inflated. Even after they were in normal social conditions for months. While more studies are needed, it's frightening to think that prolonged amounts of stress can affect your brain for the long term. That's why it's extremely important for everyone to develop their conscious awareness. The earlier you are able to perceive when you're stressed, the earlier you can do something to decrease that stress. In another study with rats exposed to chronic stress, the hippocampus in the brain, the hippocampus region, actually shrank. The hippocampus is an important part of your brain that helps you form memories. It's been debated for a while as to whether or not PTSD is able to shrink this part of the brain. Or those with a naturally smaller hippocampus are more prone to this affliction. This study points to stress being a factor in changing the brain. Now, next, let's talk about how you're more creative when you're tired. Oddly enough, the way most people plan their days isn't necessarily the best way to get more creative work done. Planning around your body clock can be a better solution. If you're a morning person, then you'll want to do more work during those morning hours when you feel you're most alert. Try doing all of your analytical or demanding work in the morning. Using your brain to solve issues, make decisions, and answer questions is best done when you feel you're most alert. For those who feel more alert at nighttime, then the opposite is true. However, if you're attempting to do more creative work, then you'll have better luck when you're tired and your brain isn't functioning as well. It sounds weird, but it makes sense when you look at the logic behind it. It's one of the reasons you have great ideas after you've had a long day at work or when you're feeling relaxed in the shower. If you're tired, then your brain isn't as good at filtering out distractions and focusing on the single task. It's a lot less efficient at recalling connections between concepts and ideas. These are good things when you're trying to be creative, because this type of work requires you to make new connections and be open to new ideas. So a fuzzy, tired brain is more useful to you when you're working on something creative. Now let's reveal why it's impossible for anyone to multitask. Multitasking is something everyone has been encouraged to do since they were children. But it turns out that it's not possible. When you think you're multitasking, you're actually switching between two tasks rapidly, but you're never actually focusing on those tasks at the same exact time. Research has shown that the margin of error increases to 50% when someone is multitasking. And it takes the same person twice as long to do something. The problem with multitasking is that you're splitting the resources in your brain. You're putting less attention on both tasks and performing worse at both of them. When your brain attempts to do two things at once, it will divide and conquer. Dedicating half your gray matter to each task, but not at the same time. For example, if you're trying to jump rope and do a math problem at the same time, your brain isn't handling both tasks at the same time. Instead, it's painfully switching back and forth and using important brain power just to do the switching. When your brain handles a single task, the prefrontal cortex has a huge part in solving the issue. The anterior part of this region of the brain forms the intention or the goal. For example, you might want a piece of pie, and your posterior prefrontal cortex will talk to the rest of the brain so that your hand reaches out to grab a plate. While this action is happening, the rest of the mind knows whether or not you have the piece of pie. When a second task is necessary, the brain splits up. with either hemisphere working alone on one of the tasks. The brain will be overloaded by the second task, and it won't be able to perform at its full capacity because it needs to split its resources. If a third task is added to the list, then the results will fall drastically. Those who try to juggle more than two tasks at once will always falter on one of those tasks. The bottom line is, if you don't want to make mistakes, then you shouldn't multitask at all. Now, extroversion and introversion are from differing wiring in your brain. Introversion and extroversion are not actually related to how shy you are, but rather they are related to how your brain recharges. That's important. Research has discovered that there's a difference between extroverted and introverted people's brains in terms of how they process rewards and how their genetic makeup varies. For an extrovert, their brain responds stronger when a gamble pays off. Part of this is genetic, but it's also partly due to a different wiring in the dopamine system. After taking a risk, extroverts have a stronger response in two of the regions of the brain, the nucleus accumbens and the amygdala. The nucleus accumbens is connected to the dopamine system, a region of the brain associated with motivation and reward. The difference in the dopamine system in an extrovert's brain pushes them to seek out novelty, take risks, and enjoy surprising or new situations more than introverts. The amygdala processes emotional stimulus, which gives an extrovert the rush of excitement they get when they try something stimulating, which might make an introvert feel overwhelmed. This all comes from a difference in how introverts and extroverts process stimuli in their environment. For an extrovert, the pathway is shorter. It goes through an area where touch, taste, auditory, and visual sensory processing happens. For an introvert, the stimuli go through a complicated, long path in areas of the brain that are associated with planning, remembering, and problem solving. Now let's end part one by explaining how your vision outdoes all your other senses. Of all your five senses, sight makes the most lasting impression in your brain. If you hear a piece of information, you'll remember 10% of it 3 days later. If you view a picture, you'll remember 65% of it 3 days later. Picture beat text. 2, because reading is inefficient for people. Your brain sees words as tiny little pictures. And people have a hard time identifying certain features in the letters in order to be able to read them. That takes some time. Vision is so powerful that the best wine tasters in the world might describe a dyed white wine as a red wine. Although we rely heavily on our vision, it isn't always accurate. For example, our brain does a ton of estimating because it doesn't know where something is. In a 3D world, the light falls on the human eye in a 2D fashion. So the brain approximates a viewable image. So now, let's be proactive and begin implementing the things you've learned today in order to start the process of your new mind creation. Also, remember to join me again next week on Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for an all-new episode. Thank you for listening to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. This podcast has been sponsored by Abundance Sports and Truth Serum. Head over to www.mauriceflourney.com to receive more motivation and insight to help create your new mind.